Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 1 Podcast.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome in. We've reached the middle of the week, and we have a lot happening today and some really amazing guests. But there is plenty of news to pass along. One story in particular we have been watching closely for several days, and it looks like there is some activity. What's going on in Florida? Their top commit asked out after NIL deal falls apart. Are we watching college football in the real world? Jaden Rashada.
Show me the money.
He went to Florida over after a tough recruiting battle with Miami. Now he is on the market again after a reported $13 million deal fell through.
Sad.
The New World. John Adams will be with us in a few minutes. Why? UT, Tennessee and Georgia are going to raise SEC fortunes. But they're not apparently going to get much help. He also has some other comments about the West and how the West will be won. We'll talk about college coaches with several guests and how they are adapting to the real world that we currently live in, that you're hearing about every day. And from the Wall Street Journal, our go-to source for all information, including where the S&P 500 will finish today, the NCAA needs new revenue, but likely won't get it from college football. A real battle brewing there. Today's guests include the aforementioned John Adams, Andrea Adelson, Jess Simonton will join us, Rachel Bachman, Pete Thamel. And who knows who might drop by? Your phone calls at 855-242-7285. So that's a lot to deal with today, and we appreciate all of you coming on board. And let's get right to it. Let's get right to it and say hello to William in Maryville.
Hello, Paul. How are you?
William, we're doing great. Thank you.
Well, you know, you almost beat my thunder there with that headline because I wanted to call you about this situation in Florida. If you remember when NIL first came about, you and I had a conversation about a collective. And I think I said something like, a collective sounds like something where they took wheat in Soviet Russia or Soviet Union.
Exactly.
I'm not sure what a collective was. I'm still not sure what a collective was. But stick with me a minute. Let's play dominoes for a second.
Okay.
Remember dominoes?
I do.
Let's play dominoes. So, this young man signs a binding letter of intent, and he's got a, according to the thing I read, a binding NIL agreement for some $13 million, which is somehow canceled. Well, if it was binding, it really wouldn't be canceled. It would be breached. Otherwise, it would be non-binding. Yeah, let's look at how these dominoes go. For instance, what happens if the Florida Athletic Department or coaching staff said to this young man, well, we've got this NIL deal for you, and we're going to sign you to a letter of intent, and wink, wink, they knew that that the funding behind it wasn't solid. What's their liability? What about the collective, Paul? If they signed something that was binding with this young man and knew their funding wasn't solid, what's their liability? If they had an agreement with some funding sources, which have now backed out, what's their liability? And then you look at the young man, you know, I don't know, Paul, if I had a windfall of $13 million coming to me, I'd probably go down to the Ford dealership or the Chevy dealership and buy me a new pickup truck. Well, what if he has relied on this money and gone and spent some of it before he got it? You've got dominoes falling all over the place like we talked about 2 years ago. It's not the front end of these deals, Paul, to worry about. It's the back end when something goes wrong.
Well, that's what good lawyers are supposed to help out people in putting contracts together. You're right. So where do you think this, I mean, without knowing the facts, William, I'm asking you a hypothetical, but where do you think all this lands?
It's hard to say because you haven't read, but you know you haven't read the agreements. I think it lands in a mess, and the question is, you know, number one, will the NCAA let him out of his letter of intent? I don't know what their rules and regulations are on that. Number two, if the collective has breached the agreement, then he's got a claim against them. If the funder, you know, didn't come through with the funding, they've got, you know, liability. But the university, if the university knew that the NIL deal wasn't solid but signed him to a letter of intent, then the university's potentially got liability. I think it's going to end up exactly where we talked to, what, a year and a half ago, Paul? It's going to end up a mess. Next question is, you know, where is this young man going to school? Is he welcome anywhere else? Does anybody else see it as a problem? Is anybody else going to pay him an NIL deal like that? He's not enrolled in Florida. I assume he's still a senior in high school. I don't know if he's graduated from high school. But what happens to him and his career? Is it on hold while all this litigation goes on? And it gets down to what we talked about 2 years ago, is how does this affect these young men and their families, or these young women and their families?
William, thank you very much. Appreciate that. That is going to be one of our big themes today. Ron is in Kentucky. Hey, Ron.
Hey, Paul. It's been a while.
Hey, Ron. Great to hear from you, Ron. Thank you.
Thank you. The content of the program over the last day or two, Paul, brought this to mind. You have far more than a sports program. The time that you devoted to the Georgia deaths was just remarkable. And my question is this. During your interview process, how adamant were you that this be a caller-driven show?
Fairly adamant, Ron, because I felt like that's really what the show was about. ESPN could have hired anyone to interview coaches and broadcasters all day long. But the one thing I felt when they made contact with me that we brought to the table, we meaning our show, was the caller base and the fan base. And I think the SEC and the SEC and ESPN, because we were the first thing the SEC network hired, were looking for that. I'm not sure they completely understood what they were getting, but you know, it was a show that was built in Birmingham on that rivalry there that got bigger. And obviously when it came here, it branched out significantly.
Well, you've had spectacular success, and again, it goes back to it being a caller-driven show.
Well, to me, Ron, if it's not going to be that, and we try to put guests on every hour and as often as we can because we feel like there are important stories to go.
Yes.
But ultimately, people that call in the show are what has made this show different, and I say unique. I'm not saying better, because there are plenty of shows out there where you get a host who bloviates for two or three or four hours. This show has always been criticized by some because they say that the role of the host is irrelevant, that the person just sits here and punches buttons, which takes no imagination. And that's fine. I've heard that criticism from the beginning. I don't think screaming at the audience with how much knowledge that I have about anything is really what this is about.
Well, I just wanted to congratulate you, Paul, as the host of the program. You've had a remarkably successful run for a long period of time. How long have you hosted the program?
Well, the program has been on radio in some form or fashion on a nightly basis for 33 years.
And how long have you hosted it?
Every day that it's been on.
My goodness. Well, that's remarkable. Just thank you, Paul, and congratulations.
Thank you very much, Ron. Appreciate that. We'll take a short break. Come back. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. And the second president of the United States will join us next, John Adams.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Back. It's good to have all of you with us here on a Wednesday afternoon. It's been a while since we've had a chance to say hello to John Adams, the sports columnist for the Knoxville News Sentinel. John, thanks so much. Appreciate your time. And obviously, Tennessee football remains at the epicenter. Basketball we'll get to some other time. But good afternoon, and tell us about your thoughts on where Tennessee is right now after the best season we've had there in over a decade. Good afternoon.
Hey, thanks, Paul. Yeah, I think Tennessee's in really good shape, and suddenly it seems quite a distance removed from all the past mishaps. It's taken a while, but I really think Tennessee is in good shape with Josh Heupel. It lost some key players from a team that finished sixth nationally, but it's also got some good players coming back. And the main thing, I think the main reason Tennessee fans are confident is Josh Heupel's offensive system really works. We've seen it two seasons at Tennessee now, and he gives just about every defense trouble, even if he doesn't have an abundance of talent. And he had more talent this year, and it shows with the highest scoring team in the country. So I think he's proved to be a good recruiter. He's got some key additions from transfer portal. So Tennessee is in the best shape it's been in a long time, and I expect it to be a top 25 team again in 2023.
Yeah, it's worth pointing out that Joe Milton was originally the starter for game one under Heupel, and you know we know what happened with Hendon Hooker, who became a generational player in Knoxville. Now that Milton is back in charge again, what is the level of confidence in what he can do?
Well, Paul, I thought he distinguished himself well in the Orange Bowl. Convincing win over Clemson. Threw three touchdown passes and was careful with the football. No turnovers. He's not a great runner. He's big and strong, but he doesn't have really good runner instincts. But I still think he can work in this system. And everybody talks about his strongest arm, how strong his arm is. It's probably one of the strongest in football, NFL included. But where it helps him, it's not just on deep throws. He's got more accurate on deep throws, but also those quick tunnel screens that Tennessee likes to run and those short routes over the middle, he gets the ball to the receiver so fast. It gets, if the receiver holds on to it, it gives him a chance to make a move. And so, of course, Tennessee has a freshman coming in, five-star Nico Amaleva. He will compete for the starting job. They lost Tavian Jackson. He transferred to Indiana. So they're kind of quarterback poor depth-wise, but I think the quality is there, and they'll probably add somebody after spring at quarterback, although I know it's challenging to say, hey, we got an opening for a third-string quarterback. Come on down to Tennessee.
Yeah, and you have to pronounce his name, not me. I had to deal with Tua Tagovailoa for 3 years at Alabama. But this player
that Nico
that you just referred to, I mean, he's come in very ballyhooed. Give us the backstory on him, because it seems like I've been hearing his name for years now.
Yeah, I think he's one of those NIL poster boys. Tennessee didn't get him based on Heupel's reputation for offense and Tennessee's rich football tradition alone. I think Tennessee has a very aggressive sports collective, and I think that's why it was able to get a five-star quarterback from California who's extremely athletic, really good arm. He's 6'5". He's on the thin side, and he doesn't really look thick enough to be taking those SEC shots, but maybe he's just really strong and wiry. He's also a top-notch volleyball player. So kind of that speaks to his athleticism. I think he'll be a really nice fit for this offense. But I really expect going in that Joe Milton will be the guy. And if he falters, it's not as though Tennessee is bereft of talent there on the depth chart.
John Adams with us from the Knoxville News Sentinel, also writing about the SEC West, where a headline you had up the other day drew quite a few eyebrows, especially from Alabama, where you wrote an article about how Alabama football will no longer rule the West. Watch out for LSU, a school you covered a couple of decades ago, back at the beginning of your career. Give us your rationale on that thesis.
Well, Paul, I'm not one of these people that thinks, oh my gosh, Alabama's on decline now because it fell just short of the college football playoff and didn't win the national title against Georgia in the 2021 season. Alabama again be very talented. My concern with Alabama compared to LSU, I don't know who Alabama's quarterback will be. I don't see a star quarterback there. And maybe Jalen Milroe will surprise me, certainly a good runner. I don't see the passing proficiency. At least I didn't see it when he was backing up Bryce Young this past season. Maybe Ty Simpson, a highly touted signee who hasn't really played, maybe he'll end up being the guy. But right now, I don't see another star quarterback on the assembly line there at Alabama. And we've seen quite a few from Jalen Hurst, Tua Tagovailoa, Mac Jones, Bryce Young. So that to me is different. I also don't see a real big-time running back there, an obvious or an exceptional wide receiver. Now, these guys all could come through this coming season, but I look at LSU in comparison, and I see a team with really nice star power. I thought Harold Perkins at linebacker is one of the best freshman linebackers I've seen in the SEC this past season. Mason Smith, a renowned defensive tackle, supposedly based on recruiting services, hurt in the first game against Florida State. He should be back and healthy this coming season. Then on offense with Mason Taylor tight end, Malik Nabers kind of came out of nowhere to become LSU's go-to receiver, not Kayshon Boutte, who's off to the NFL. And then Jalen Daniels showed much improvement. From what I saw of him at Arizona State, he improved significantly, I thought, as a passer at LSU, and he's certainly a running threat. I think LSU has a really good nucleus of star power, and I think Brian Kelly's done a great job of not just recruiting, but really balancing out the depth chart with key transfers.
John, I mentioned your early days, and the reason I bring that up is that I remember that, which brings me to this final conversation about Kirby Smart in Georgia and where they currently stand. Because, I mean, you were around for the end of Paul Bryant. You've seen Spurrier come and go and Urban Meyer and obviously Nick Saban. As you watch Kirby Smart, or as you watched him a week and 2 days ago win that second national championship, where would you say this program is right now in comparison to dynastic programs like Bryant's of the 70s and Saban's of most recent?
Well, Paul, I really think this past season pretty much confirmed Georgia's status, dynasty-like status. I mean, remember, it came within one play of Alabama winning the championship for the 2017 season. Kirby has recruited great. He's developed players. A lot of their big-time recruits, you don't see a lot of bust among their big-time recruits. It seems like they all become pretty good players, if not all SEC players and eventual NFL draft picks. So I just think he's really got it going. And I think before, I think going into this season, when I look at Georgia now, and I think it's kind of in the past that Kirby Smart was a disciple of Nick Saban, a seven-year assistant and the foreman of Nick Saban's elite defenses for a while there. I think he's viewed completely now. I think right now Kirby Smart is the best coach in college football. That doesn't mean he's usurped Nick Saban's position overall. I think Nick Saban's the greatest coach of all time in college football, even ahead of Bear Bryant, who I used to think was the best ever, because of his championships. But right now, if you had to hire a coach, you could hire any coach you wanted. I can't imagine anyone not wanting to hire Kirby Smart.
Well said, from somebody who knows. John, always great to talk to you. Be well. Hope to talk to you again soon.
Okay, Paul. Thank you.
The one and only John Adams. There aren't many of us still around who can say they covered Bear Bryant's tenure. John started his career in LSU and, of course, spent almost 40 years in Knoxville. We'll take a short break. Back with more of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We welcome all of you back. Thanks for being here on a Tuesday afternoon. Carol is up next.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Hey, Carol. Good afternoon.
I'm a longtime listener.
Thank you.
Always followed you in the Birmingham paper and always listening to your radio shows. I was actually listening the day Harvey Updike called in.
I couldn't
believe at first that it was even true. And then the more I listened, the more I realized that it was true. But I just wanted you to know that I watch you every day, and I enjoy your show so much.
Thank you.
And I love about 95% of your callers, and I do like to listen to Iman, but today his call was ridiculous. To call Alabama football and Alabama basketball thugs because of this incident that happened. And I know it's horrible. A young lady lost her life. And if he's involved, he needs to be found guilty. No doubt about it. But just because that happened doesn't make the whole program thugs. And that just
He mentioned Urban Meyer. I mean, there was
Absolutely.
I mean, there was a cancer on that program down there, and Urban Meyer looked the other way. Until this incident, there's not a scintilla of evidence to support that anything like this had been going on under Nate Oates.
Absolutely not. I mean, he wasn't even playing right then. He's been out hurt, but he doesn't play all the time anyway. And this was on a Saturday night, totally not involved in
completely unrelated. And to Nate Oates' credit, I mean, he's addressed it. There's nothing he can say. The university is not going to allow its athletic director or anyone else to come on a program and discuss a legal case before all the facts are in.
As they shouldn't.
No, absolutely
not.
They
should not do that.
You understand, we are not, we're talking, I mean, if we were covering it up as one of the callers suggested, we wouldn't allow this conversation. Anything can be said on this show within reason.
And yesterday, your show was spent where it needed to be. And my condolences go out so much to the Georgia family and the family of those that lost their lives. That's horrible. I actually cried at some of your callers yesterday. But today, that all he ever wants to talk about anyway is Alabama and Coach Saban. That's all he talks about.
Carol, you're 100% correct on that. Listen, I want to thank you very much for what you said, and you continue to call. Thank you very, very much. Legend is next.
Hey, my black hat brother. How you doing, man?
Legend.
Man, I just called to let you know I got your back, brother. I be reading all that crap online and stuff, man. I just want you to know the legend got your back, man. I love you, man. Keep doing what you're doing. Let all them haters hate, man. I told you a long time ago, a hater gonna hate. Let them hate, Paul. You know, I just like to speak to the University of Georgia. We kick it hard. I bring it hard. I wouldn't talk about you if you wasn't relevant. But when something like this happens, hey, football don't mean a thing, man. At the end of the day, we're all brothers, we're all neighbors, wives, husbands, sister, brother. It's just a friggin' game, but yesterday was about real life. My heart goes out to the university, my prayers with the University of Georgia, and man, just keep going strong. You'll get through this. I know it's hard, but take one day at a time. That's all you can do is take one day at a time, brother. That's all you can do. And just every day I get up, I thank God for another day. None of us are promised tomorrow. We all think we're going to live 80 years, but a lot of us are not. That's just the reality. Just be thankful. Keep going. My heart goes out to you, Georgia. You're in my prayers. And also, Paul, I like to say my heart goes out to the young lady that lost her life in the tragic situation with Darius Miles. And, I mean, that's just tragic, man, for a young lady to lose her life like that. And I was charged with capital murder. I know what Darius Miles is going through right now, and it's a bad situation. His whole life has just been turned upside down. And a lot of times the victims are the parents, that, like Darius, the brothers, the mother to this young girl, the brothers. The real victims are people that, you know, wasn't even involved in it. You know what I'm saying, Paul? A lot of times those are the people that get lost in these situations. But my heart goes out to all of you and to the Alabama basketball team. Nate Oates, you've done a great job down there. I ain't listening to none of this bull crap. Paul knows it's bull crap. You're a straight-up great guy. I speak to the Alabama basketball team. Keep your head on your shoulders. Keep your mind right. Pray for your brother. And go out and do the right thing. Watch who you hang out with. Watch who the hell you partner yourself with and get in a car with. Are you listening to me, every Alabama Auburn player, every player in the nation? Watch who you get in the car with. Watch who your partner is. And for sure, It's time to put the guns down. Put them down. I was a coward when I took a gun at 17 and took a life. That was an act of a coward. You don't need a gun to be a man or be bad. I'm speaking to everybody. Put the damn guns down. Stop killing people. I was a coward. It's a cowardly act. Think like a man and be a man. You don't need a gun to be a man. And watch who the hell you hang out with. Watch who the hell you hang out with. And again, my heart goes out to you, Georgia. We kick it. But in the end, the game don't mean nothing, man. It's about life. Peace out, Paul. Got you back, brother.
Thank you, Legend. We'll take a short break. Back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. John is up next in Florida. Hey, John.
John.
Paul, thank you for having me on your show, as always.
And, thank you.
I've been a very busy man, so I haven't been too up to date on everything off the field with Georgia and Alabama. I've heard, you know, a little bit about it, but you know, okay. Thank you definitely for giving us a place to give our grievances and stuff like that, and a very humble reminder that we're very blessed to have college football, and it's not always promised. Paul, I was going through my phone today before I get to my comment, and a photo came up of a reminder many years ago, back in 2018, and we have actually met before at 2018 SEC Media Days. I know you meet so many people, you wouldn't actually remember that, but I have a photo of you and I together and of me and Larry. I have a photo of Larry holding a sign saying Jack.
Yeah, yeah. Larry was at Media Days a couple of years ago.
Yes, and I was there too. I have some great photos. Like, how would I get that even to you guys?
Easily. I tell you what, John, we'll just put you on hold, and we'll give you our address. I think that would be the best way, or
okay.
Some other way, if you
awesome.
Want. But yeah, thanks, John. Okay, let me put you back on hold, and we're very easy to find. Randy holding up the SEC Network sign out in the parking lot, so people know where to drop off. David is up next. Hello, David.
Hey, Paul. How are you today?
Very well. Thanks for calling.
Hey, just an answer to an earlier caller. What an honor it is to talk to the greatest sports talk host on the planet Earth.
Oh, well, did you get the wrong show? Okay. Thank you very much for saying that.
Hey, Paul, I talked to you Monday, man. I'm a huge Alabama fan, but our prayers are still with the Georgia Nation. Praying for the young lady's family who's having her memorial service today.
Right.
For their whole program. I didn't want to talk about football Monday, but I want to talk about football today, and I've got two questions for you.
Sure.
And then I'll ask you, and I'll hang up and listen if that's all right.
Of course.
Okay. Jalen Milroe, do you think he's ready to take over the helm at Alabama? Or if we can get somebody out of the transfer portal, should we do that? And the second question is, at what point does Nick call Jeremy Pruitt and say, come to Papa, roll tide?
Yeah, thanks. I think the Milroe question is unanswered. He looked good in the first in the game that he came in. Was that the Arkansas game? He looked pretty rough in the next game. But I think that's understandable. First game out, most people have a hard time. I think Jeremy Pruitt is clearly on Nick Saban's mind. I don't know what his process is right now. There's not a he's not under the deadline. He's known this would be happening for some time. So I think Coach Saban is very prepared for the moment, and assuming that Jeremy Pruitt is able to be hired, which I'm assuming he is, then I think he's pretty high on Coach Saban's list. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's move along and try John next. Hey, John.
Yes, Paul. Sorry about the confusion there. So what I really wanted to talk to you about was the power of momentum. And what made me think of this was I was watching Georgia basketball last Wednesday.
Okay.
And Kirby Smart was in the stands.
Right.
And I noticed Georgia, their record was very good and they're playing much better. It got me thinking – of in the past. So I became an SEC fan in the mid-90s around Peyton Manning. And it just got me thinking of questions like, you know, when Pat Summitt was there, almost the whole athletic department became good. And then you look at, like, Tim Tebow and how the basketball team won back-to-back national championships and how Nick Saban got to Alabama and look how good their basketball team and athletic department program is now. And it just became too much of a coincidence for me to ignore, and I can't help but in many ways feel Josh Heupel is bringing that same type of momentum and energy to Knoxville. And I'm not saying there is a right answer for this, but in your best response, what? How can one person come in and change an entire culture in a program like that, Paul?
Well, thanks for the call. I think it is true that a successful program can help others because there's just a feeling on campus that, hey, we have to do a better job because they are. As far as Josh Heupel, though, I will point out that while Tennessee's football programs were at low ebb, Rick Barnes had them as the number one team in the country a couple of years ago. So I don't think you could say Tennessee basketball is and baseball, which was also number one, as Tennessee football was, or there's necessarily a correlation there. Thank you very much. Bobby is in Oxford. Hey, Bobby, welcome to the show.
Hey, Paul, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I want to start with, so obviously I'm an Ole Miss alum, but I want to thank you for your coverage of the Georgia tragedy, and anyway, I thought you really respected it.
Thank you.
Did whatever best job you could under circumstances. But my question is, so NIL, you were talking about the Florida guy, right? They offered him $13 million and this and that. And I understand it's always been a wink-wink thing prior to the NIL where, you know, hey, our boosters give you this or whatever. And that was always, you know, it was – you shouldn't do it, but – everybody was doing it, but so now they got the NIL, and so Florida's offering $13 million to this guy, and then you know Ole Miss may come in there and say, "Hey,
yeah, Bobby, I hate to interrupt, but we are at the end of the hour. Thanks so much for the call, Andrea Adelson. Next on the Florida situation."
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.